They're bad. They're boys. And occasionally, they talk about running. Yes, it's the Bad Boy Running Podcast with your hosts, Jody Rainsford and David Heller. Come back.
Baby, come back. With a bye, 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 bye. With a bye, 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 bye. I must admit I was a clone to be messing around. But that doesn't mean that you have to leave town. Come
back. Put a bye, 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 bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Hello, D-Badders. Hello, JD Rainsford. How are we doing?
I'm all right, David Hellard. How are you?
Good, good. I've got a big coffee in my hand. Welcome to the bad stuff.
This got a big what in your hand?
A bit. Well, I wish it was that. a big coffee. And I say I wish as in my own, not someone else's. Although that would be interesting. I've never tried that. So...
I do like to. How do you podcast? What do you need? Is that like the equivalent of like your pint glass of brown M&Ms? I like to have something in my hand when I'm podcasting that keeps me warm, keeps me motivated.
But welcome to the bad stuff. Listen, this is the episode where we talk about what's been happening in the world of running and our worlds as well. If you're interested
we talk about our running, so it's a very short episode.
Exactly. And if you're interested in the interviews, these come out on Sunday and a slightly different vibe. So these ones aren't for everyone, but they should be for you. And we'll tell you why. We've got no reason to tell you why, actually. I didn't I've got no sales pitch to back that up.
Let's put this back to the do-badders. Why should someone listen to the bad stuff? I've never, you know, as part of my job, messaging is a key thing. Explaining value propositions and explaining, you know, positioning and why people should do something. And then people ask me, why should I listen to the podcast? Why should I listen to the bad stuff? And I'm absolutely lost for words. I'm like, I think
what
does this give you? What does this give you, people?
I think it makes listeners feel more at ease with not being the people that society expects them to be. Would that be a good?
I don't know what that means.
Well, I think there's people listen to us and they feel better about being themselves.
Oh, okay. They feel better. No matter what situation, no matter what situation you were in, no matter how bleak or how bad it seems. At least you're not us.
Or you're us. At least, I think there's an element of, they have these thoughts as well.
I'm not sure that that's entirely true. I've got to point out that there was a lot of feedback. I don't know if you saw it when we're in that episode, when we were talking about you having that that dodgy massage.
I've not seen the feedback.
It's just around the comment that I pulled you up on, and I was like, "What?" And you said, "Yeah, it's perfect." You know, when you're 12 and you're getting massages. Yeah, I don't generally think that's a thing that happens to kind of 12-year-olds.
I'm always giving. I'm always introducing that concept to groups of people, but groups of children. But
if you think the same as us, that's great. If you don't feel bad about it. But whatever purpose this serves you, please let us know. It must serve a purpose.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, to begin with, we've had one bit of purpose from a do-badder who's asked us, and I don't honestly know the answer to this. It's Tom Collins, who looks very, very fit, actually. He's a coach, and he said, "Hey guys, I'm sure you did a podcast on the Medoc Marathon, but I can't find it. Me and the boys have just signed up. What do I need to know?" So I don't know if we've done an episode just about Medoc. We've probably talked about it as the best races on earth. Maybe episode two.
Did we have the podcast when we went to Medoc? I don't think we did. No, I don't think we did.
Did we? Have we not been back since?
No.
Maybe not. Wow. I mean, that's...
I think a thing popped up in my... I recently popped up about Medoc, and I'm sure it was the date before we started the podcast.
It could have been... God, it doesn't feel like that long since I've been there. So, if someone's thinking about doing Medoc, we're doing the Beaujolais Marathon as a running club and as a podcast in November in France. So get in the Facebook group to see the details of that. But... what advice would we give people going to Medoc? That's quite That's quite a good question.
So
because...
if you've never been to any event organized by a French organization, there's a lot of admin, very pointless admin that you will have to do. More admin than you ever thought you ever needed for basically running a marathon with some wine in it.
But it's admin that can be overcome with confidence and lots of shaky heads and lots of like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Okay, we'll do that. And then pointing at someone in the distance and be like, oh, they said it'd be okay. And then pretending it is. That gets you through a lot. But I'd say the thing about Medoc to understand is, firstly, Medoc...
Don't miss the bus.
Like,
it's not actually in Bordeaux, is it? That's the thing. Medoc is a different place. In Pauillac. Is it Pauillac? It starts?
Pauillac.
It's a different place from Bordeaux. So you've got to get there. That's the first part.
Unless they substantially change the logistics of it, which we haven't checked.
There's no way it will change. It will ever change.
The thing to bear in mind is you have a choice. You either stay in Bordeaux, and it means you've got to get to the sign up on the Friday, which is in Pauillac, about an hour with no real good trains to get there on the Friday, and then get back to Bordeaux and then take a bus in the morning. So you've got to figure that out somehow, or you stay in Pauillac, and that means you've got to get there somehow without the buses, and you'll probably be camping if you've got that. That's the only real option. And so I'd recommend you stay in Bordeaux because there is an evening event after the wine marathon, but it kind of dies down before that. And so I think you want that freedom, but then you've got a nightmare of how the hell do you get out there on a Friday night? So that would be my first bit of advice. Second bit of advice, on the route, what would you say? The last year we went, it took an eternity to actually get in. And so we started maybe half an hour before the race had begun. But in general, beer lovers, you want to start quickly. You probably want to do the first half in 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's it. And in beer lovers, it's well organized in the sense that there's less beer in that first half. It's really less crowded. Less beer in the first half. The good thing about beer lovers is that you get the same beer whether you're last or first or whatever.
Yeah,
that's not the same in Medoc. Medoc, the good stuff goes first.
So it pays to be ahead, I'd say, in Medoc, particularly because the last mile typically is, or the last 2 miles is where you get all the food, and that's where you get the steak, you get the oysters. Now, you can play it two ways. You can either be there super early and get the food. You can be there or be there at the end where everyone else has basically given up on finishing, on the food to finish. And if you're in the middle, there's going to be massive queues for getting that food, and it's going to be incredibly hard to get any or a decent amount of it. So if you're really tactical, go out fast. Drink everything you want on the way, have a lovely time, get to the food super early, stay there for 90 minutes, and then be the last off. Because at the end, the oysters, there's so many oysters left because they can't shuck them as fast as the people are coming through. If you can, get on stage with the bands and then just make sure you get in that booze tent as quickly as possible.
I think the first thing, one, if you're vegan, there's not much for you. that's a big key thing. Two, I mean, the wine is incredible. Like, the stuff that they serve is incredible. It's absolutely stunning. There's a bit of an issue with toilets. My experience with that was just awful.
We
told this story when I was with Lottie, and we were kind of right behind, and the pacers overtook us at like mile one or something because we were queuing for the toilet there, because there were hardly any toilets at the start. I don't think there were any toilets at the start, but there's like two cubicles, and this guy came out we were waiting like 10 minutes to go, and Lottie really needed to go, and this guy came out this toilet and he went, "Do not go in there." There is shit everywhere. And you looked inside it, and it there literally was like shit up. Mile one, and there was shit up the walls. You're like, what the fuck has someone done? Like, literally in the first like 20 minutes of the race, the toilet I went in was fine, but it was just two cubicles on that. And that was it. So I do think there's a bit of an issue with that. So I don't know what to suggest around that. And I imagine because it's a French organisation, if there have been complaints and stuff, those will have been completely ignored and exactly the same thing will run again. But that was the you also get a whistle, don't you? When the guys come through the back markers, they whistle, don't they, to show that they've turned up. So I think the key thing is it's quite similar to it's quite a good strategy to like just spend. Don't dawdle too much on the course. Like, consider it a series of sprints between bars. Treat it like an extended pub run. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because the great thing about Medoc is that where you are drinking as well is gorgeous. You're going to run somewhere. Whereas, you know, on Beer Lovers, you run to basically the side of a railway and it's fun and stuff like that. But at Medoc, what you're paying for is you're in the chateau and stuff like that. So run there, spend some time drinking, spend some time enjoying yourself, fun like that, and just make sure you move on before the back markers get there. I think when you did it was the last time that I did it.
Yeah.
You and Sweetheart were trying your hardest to be the last over the line, weren't you?
Yeah. Again. Yeah, we do that every year. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think, I don't think you want to hit that M part too early, but I do think, you want to.
I think it's fine because that's where all the food is.
You want to. Yeah, I know, but I would stay more. I'd be more interested in staying and drinking the wine than getting onto the food bit.
True, yeah, yeah.
And there's actually not as much wine and stuff along that food bit, is there? That's the thing.
And actually, it's almost worth missing the first two wine stops because the queues are so large for them that you end up just trapped in this massive glut to get a tiny bit of wine. And actually, if you just take your own bottle, sack off the first one, and check the weather because it can be bloody freezing when it's wet.
It has a great goodie bag because you get a bottle of wine in your goodie bag. And it isn't the party at the end? It's beer. So you come out of it and you don't have to drink any more wine. It's beer. So you're switching drinks, which in normal circumstances, switching between wine and beer is a thing. The other thing that I think everyone, if you've never done like a beer or a wine run before, is they think that people are going to be throwing up on the way around and it's going to be difficult running stuff like that. And it really isn't. It really, really does work well. So I don't think, if there's any concerns around that, I think it's just, just kind of keep moving and be careful of the weather. I think that's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But you're going to absolutely love it. And we're heading to do the Beaujolais marathon later this year to try and get that similar response. Similar atmosphere again.
And for our American listeners, that is Beaujolais in France, the original Beaujolais, not Beaujolais in whatever state that you live in. Okay.
Is there a Beaujolais in Minneapolis? Or
there's always it doesn't matter what it is. Like there's always the name of anything that's for any city in Europe or something. You'll go, oh, I'm from Brighton. They go, oh, Brighton, Massachusetts. No. Fucking original Brighton, the one that this Brighton was named after. That's the one I'm from. So that's, Beaujolais. Do you know what? I bought a bottle of Beaujolais the other day.
Good.
Well, it's quite unusual because, of course, Beaujolais is a light red wine, isn't it? Made from the Gamay grape. But this was a white.
Made from Gamay grapes?
Gamay grapes, yeah. Although, actually a lot of grapes are apart rotten, aren't they? Enough of that. but it's a white Beaujolais that is very unusual and apparently is very unpopular because people don't want white Beaujolais.
Yeah, I mean you're talking to I might as well be deaf in this conversation. but we have been a lot of people have been messaging about how much they're loving or hating the Barclay Marathons. Because that is going on.
I thought
you were
going to say the BBRC bingo.
The BBR, not that. But we're right in the midst of it. And currently, we've got, I think, five runners at least out on lap number four, including Jasmine Paris, only the second lady to do a fourth. It seems like the conditions have been lovely this year.
So we're saying it's an easy year, are we?
Yeah.
Easy year, yep.
Easier year. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think everyone...
No, not easier. Easy.
Easy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we'd all be there pushing out at least a fun run, given how lovely it is this year. But I think the it seems to be becoming less and less secretive each year, which I don't know whether they're asking people if they can mention them. But there used to be a time you could turn up and no one would know. Whereas there's already a spreadsheet. There's a spreadsheet of who's been running, and there's updates on every lap for every person, it seems, which is interesting from an outsider's point of view. But if you're someone who wants to just rock up and give it a try.
I would question whether it is interesting from an outsider's point of view.
Well, that is a very good point. I'd say the thing that interests me is how few Americans are actually running it this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I've only got a list of 24 of the 30 people down, but there's a crazy number of British people and a large number of Europeans compared to what you'd expect. And we were saying that last week on the bad stuff, whether it's because there's a lot of miserable races in the UK. There's a lot of miserable running in the UK, and whether that is...
So I love that. There's miserable races. And so what we just got all the way to the US, which has a full spread of gorgeous races and beautiful settings, all thing, but you pick the one that has the shit weather, the shit experience that you can really get your teeth into.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Because Laz is wanting people to succeed. Laz is wanting people to push the boundaries. And so I think he's intrigued by seeing how good fell runners are, seeing how good the spine seems to be getting a lot of representation in it. Like people who've won, I think there's four or five people who've won the spine who are out there now.
So the spine is basically the training race for Barclays.
Well, it's the marker, isn't it? Where I think the spine, you've got the Tour de Jeanne, but I don't think the Tour de Jeanne attracts the caliber of runners of the spine. I think there's far, maybe that's a controversial thing to say, but I think the level of athlete that does the spine is far higher than the level of athlete, the level of competition. And so globally, from what I can tell, the spine probably is the thing that is the most representative of how hard and how much you're going to have to adapt. Maybe not the navigation, but given that it's something like... 70% in darkness, it's the navigation isn't that similar, but you're having to really deal with a lot of crap on the spine. But looking at it, like from the UK, we've got Nikki Spinks. She's done two laps. Good work, Nikki. Damo Hall, who's been running with the whole way, it seems, with John. Great friend, great rival from the Pennine Way records. But Albert Herrero Casas, the world champion for 24-hour orienteering. Those three have been running the whole thing together. And the interesting thing is with the Barclay, traditionally, if two people are together on the last lap, they get sent in opposite directions. So that's what happened with John and with Gary. Just to ensure that everyone has to do a lap by themselves. So what the question is, what happens? We've never had three people get to the fifth lap. So what's going to happen? Is Laz going to send two of them in one direction? And if so, who? Is he going to break up the love of John and Damo?
Oh, no. Well,
I believe he will, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to happen.
But we've, Jasmine's currently on her fourth. She's looking good. She could take it. She potentially could take on the fifth. But also from the UK, we've got Katie Wright. She's done the spine before, I believe. We've got Tom Hollins. He's done the spine as well. We've got Pavel Polonsky from Czech Republic. He's still going strong. We've got Carol Sabe from Belgium. There's so many. I mean, there's other Europeans as well who haven't done quite as well. But I do wonder whether are there enough why aren't there more Americans being represented? That's a surprising thing.
Yeah, or has there been a conscious effort to increase the European field?
And it could be because of lockdown that Laz is trying to almost make up for the fact that Europeans couldn't compete as much. Or it could be that he's more, maybe he feels that he's, a lot of the top American athletes have given it a go already. And actually there's more unknown people to him. And given that the way that a lot of people get known by Laz now is through things like the backyards, that there's so many backyards that people are really making
it's like
their names.
A scouting network now. He's got a scouting network with the backyards. That's it.
Yeah. And it's like, could we have two or three finishes this year? We're going to know by the time this comes out. But I think really exciting that to see if they go out on the last lap, Damo versus John. That's going to be amazing.
Oh, do you know what? It's good. It's good to have a little rivalry. It's very unusual, over kind of that kind of distance as well. I wish it was more aggressive and angry at each other, but they're really good. They're good friends. And so it's slightly disappointing in that sense.
And but will they both finish? Are we going to have another Gary, John Kelly situation where someone doesn't? And are they going to be thinking of the time? Because I'm pretty sure they will be, right? Damo's going to want to finish. John's going to definitely want to beat Damo.
Yeah. What makes John go back again and again? It's like...
I think he wants the record. Most ever finishes.
Yeah.
And it's where he lives. And it's... He knows that Laz is going to make it harder. And he just loves his chunky stuff though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a little bit. We're trying to do slightly shorter bad stuff for you guys. So it's because we realise we're doing a lot of hours in the week for you to talk through. I thought a few things to quickly mention. We'll talk in more detail about we'll talk about more detail next time about the new product by Morton. That is the first product, I think, in nutrition that it, well, people say game changer. This is the first product I can think of in my time that will dramatically improve your running since gel.
Since beetroot.
Actually, beetroot's the other one, but beetroot doesn't really help elites quite as much. But yeah, other than beetroot, yeah. So we're going to talk about that. Other things I thought, a few updates. Let's have a quick look down my list of things.
I thought when you said, we'll talk about it in more detail, I thought you were going to be talking about Physical 100, which we will be talking about.
Oh, Dad, we forgot to talk about that. A few things to mention that are quite just fun. Mo Farah, big news on Runners World. He got beaten at a school sports day by a dad wearing jeans. Love that. Absolutely love that. Mo Farah was wearing spikes as well. So he clearly wanted it.
I turned up wearing spikes. Wow.
Yeah, I'd love to, and the fact that dad's been ribbing him ever since, but I think that's such a great story. But have you seen something that I've loved? Have you seen McKenna Myler running an all-out mile in her third trimester of pregnancy?
McKenna Myler?
She ran a track mile, as fast as she could in her third trimester. She's got a bump and a half. It's amazing. If you haven't watched it, D-Badders, go and Google it.
She's done it before, though.
Has she?
Yeah, she beat she set the record, her record of 5:25 3 years ago, and then bested her pregnant mile PR by 8 seconds, running a 5:17 mile on February 21st, 2023. So
I love it because
she's got form. That's great.
It's a proper competition as well, because she's in a race, and
she's in a race. She's actually in a race.
Yeah, if you watch the video, and that's the crazy thing, because she clearly slows down a lot, and she said that actually it was all right to begin with, but like that last lap was really starting to hurt and feel, you can imagine, right? It's stressing your stomach muscles. But you could, if you look at how the speed of the other ladies around her, it's super impressive. And I'd almost want to interview one of the other ladies to know if there's, we need a new term for what is it to be, what is it called in a race? Like there's chicked, and we all know that chicked hopefully is never said anymore because it's a fairly just sexist and quite patronizing phrase. But I think we need a phrase for what is the phrase for when you're beaten by a heavily pregnant female, a heavily pregnant person. I mean, it's going to be, so we need a new phrase for what is that? Because who is going to be the, like, as a bingo, a Bad Boy Running Club bingo, that would be a great square. Get beaten in a race by a pregnant lady.
So that requires you, firstly, to find someone that's pregnant that's willing to run against you. I like that. I mean, that's quite a good name, a surname, Myla, considering, you know, nominative determinism and everything.
That's we want to know what her, for. Yeah, what's her middle name? Is it Preggy? McKenna Preggy Myler. But we, so do better. What should the new phrase be for when you're beaten by someone who's pregnant?
The thing is, what I'm interested about this is what this kind of means, because defying what, especially like advice on pregnancy and what you should do and shouldn't do in pregnancy and things like that, is this, you know, this kind of thing completely defies so much of the advice given out, which I, you know, is, I imagine is erroneous. So like, what does this show us more widely? Does it, what does this kind of like mean in terms of what people can do in terms of their health when, you know, when they are pregnant, things like that? I just want to know, like, what are the things that are now proven to have been myths?
True.
You know, because it used to be the case that, you know, you were like wrapped in cotton wool and you weren't supposed to do anything when you were pregnant. You weren't supposed to, you know, and now I'd see people like doing CrossFit and stuff when they're pregnant and lifting weights and things like that. And, you know, that's so kind of different from what.
Should we get her on?
Should we get her on? Yeah. Or just, or someone who can talk to that, who can talk to, talking about the, you know, like defying it. And
I mean, I'm assuming she's quite fun by the fact she's done this. So yeah, we'll get her on. But if you, would the phrase be, I've been pregnanced?
Pregnanced? It's certainly not the word to use.
No, okay. I've been pregged instead of pegged. To be pregged. Right, do badders. Let us know. We're going to put it in the group. Come up with a phrase that we can then try and see if it ever happens to us.
Preg on my face.
Preg on my face. Nice.
You got preg on your face. No.
That's good. That's, yeah, there must be phrases to have egg would work, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Pregnant.
So do better. Get in the group. Let us know your ideas. And we're gonna wrap things up there. We've talking about nonce. We've had a review. We've had a review mentioning the keyword nonce. Well done. Well done. So the
of all the words we've asked people to do, someone has actually done that one out of all of them.
So this is a review from Hermes Are Useless. I love the fact that that's their review name.
What's their review name?
Hermes Are Useless. So they've clearly reviewed something about Hermes at one point and not realized that set their name for life on Apple. But wonderful bit of nonsense. Five stars. Started listening to you guys after seeing you at the Run Show. Fantastic podcast. This is to a bit of nonsense in my time, but this nonsense tops the running podcast Nonsense Mountain. So thank you. Thank you, Hermes, our users. What's going to be our review keyword to try and smuggle into to reviews from today? We can't use nonsense again, can we?
No, it's definitely going to be something related to pregnancy.
Something related to pregnancy and eggs. So you've got to use a phrase to do with pregnancy and eggs and get it in a review. If you manage that, we'll read it out.
I'm not linking this to us talking about nonces. This is just something separate. And in fact, less than liking children, this person doesn't like women. How did Bruno get on with his run? Do we know?
We're yet to find out. I've seen videos of him before. On a float, dressed as a unicorn. Not a unicorn, dressed as a leprechaun. And I've not heard back from him since on that. But I will message him.
He's still
him
there.
Find out.
Rumors are he's still on that float, dressed as a unicorn leprechaun.
But D-Baz, if you've got any suggestions for other guests or episodes to record about, then message us letters at badboyrun.com or david@badboyrun.com. In terms of future guests, we've just had confirmed Bottle Klaus, who is Kipchoge's bottle man. So we're excited to get him on the podcast. Follow us on Instagram to ask any questions directly to him. We'll put out a post when he's coming on and then we'll ask your questions to him. We're looking for someone who can help us with our TikTok. So far, we have zero followers. We've asked in the group, does anyone help us? Can anyone help us with TikTok? No one knows what TikTok is. We really are old people.
Someone help us with MySpace? If we can find someone with that, we're sorted.
So is there someone out there who genuinely loves TikTok? Let us know. And
your kids like TikTok and they want experience with, and we can give them content. We could do that stuff. You could do whatever they want with it, however they want to do it. But it'll be some good experience for them in trying to turn awful content into great TikTok content.
Yes, they can put on their CV as glittering a turd is what they call it. But we know our demographics. There are youngsters who listen to this podcast. We know this is a fact. So put your hand up, come and help out. It'll be fun. And who knows, you might get some lovely free merch, which leads on to.
Yeah, if you want to join the conversation, make sure you head over to Facebook group, type in Bad Boy Running Podcast into Facebook, answer three questions and jump into the group and see the shenanigans going on in there. If you want to buy merch, go to store.badboyrunning.com and we have a lovely selection of very, very poor merch that you can get your hands on.
Thanks for listening, guys. We're still looking for race suggestions for the Bad Boy Running Club for a good fast marathon that everyone can enter in the autumn. Or some shorter fun races, kind of trail, half marathons, 10Ks for across the summer. So get in the club, let us know, and we will see you guys next time.
See you later.
Bye bye.
I must admit I was a clown to be messing around, but that doesn't mean that you have to leave town. Come back. Yes, and give me one more try, 'cause a love like this should I never ever die. Come back.
Fuck you, buddy.